Let us turn again to the chapter of God's Word, which we read together, Jeremiah chapter 13, and let us consider verse 16. Jeremiah 13, verse 16. Give glory to the Lord your God before he caused darkness, and before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains, and when you look for light, he turn it into the shadow of death and make it gross darkness. Give glory to the Lord your God before he caused darkness, and before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains, and while ye look for light, he turn it into the shadow of death and make it gross darkness. Well, Jeremiah had his own particular difficulties in the situation where he was. They were an ungodly generation. No doubt there were others besides Jeremiah who were godly, who sought the Lord, who wanted to give glory to God, who were not in danger in the same way, at least, of having been left to stumble upon the dark mountains. But you see, the Lord was to punish Judah. The Lord was to punish them. That's the darkness. That's the shadow of death and the gross darkness. The shadow of death being gross darkness, serious darkness, very deep darkness. They were being warned. Many a warning they had been given. They had been warned by Isaiah roughly 100 years previously. And Hosea, at the same time as Isaiah, God had spoken by these prophets, but they would not hear, and they were being warned a final time, before the darkness would fall, the darkness of judgment, the darkness of punishment, before that would fall upon them, they were to give glory to the Lord. They were to repent. That was the call. To repent, to turn from their own ways, to serve the living God, before they would stumble into the dark judgment, the dark, upon the dark mountains, the situation of punishment that they were being warned about now, which was so quickly, so soon to come upon them. Now, what about ourselves? What about ourselves as a nation or nations? What about the dark mountains on which this nation may yet stumble? What about the gross darkness? What about the shadow of death that may come upon this nation that seems so determined to go away from God? And the godly themselves will experience difficulties, will experience a judgment along with the ungodly. Not as judgment, but they will experience the punishment, though not as punishment. They will experience the hard and difficult circumstances that God will bring. If that is what his purpose is. But you see, in such circumstances, we should be asking the Lord to look down upon us in mercy, as individuals, but also as a nation, that the Lord would pour out his Spirit. He has done it in the past. He did it at the Reformation, when there were so few who were followers of God, and then the light came, the light of the glorious gospel of the blessed God, there were men raised up to go out and preach the good news concerning Christ, that he came into the world to save sinners. There were men raised up, and the Holy Spirit was poured out, so that as they preached, the word was taking hold of the hearts of sinners, and bringing them to give glory to God in submission to him and to his commandments. But what I have more in mind this evening is to apply this to individuals. Give glory to the Lord your God before he calls darkness and before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains, and while ye look for light, he turn it into the shadow of death and make it gross darkness. And I have just 2 points to make this evening. And the first is this, our duty to glorify God. Give glory unto the Lord your God. Give glory unto God as the one you profess to believe in, least in an outward way, the God whom you believe is the true God, the one who made heaven and earth, the one who is maintaining life on earth, the one who is preserving us in his providence from the gross darkness, the shadow of death that is spoken of here. We still have peace. We still have a high standard of living, though people very much complain. People aren't satisfied. People want more. And no word about the one who provides what they have. No word about the one who is giving them a great deal of provision, a great deal of food and other good things which just a very few generations ago could not be imagined. Yes, but we are to give glory to God. The second thing is the danger if we fail to glorify God. There's a danger. There's a stumbling upon the dark mountains, the mountains of twilight, to be literal about it. Things are getting dark. Well, the sooner we get home, the better. The sooner we get to safety, the better. And you see, when it's twilight, there's to be a turning into darkness, more or less. And some nights it will be very great darkness. It will be gross darkness. How are people to get home from a mountain and where the terrain is uneven, where there are rocks and steep cliffs and all sorts of dangers, and to stumble in not seeing where they are going? What danger? Well, let us try to apply that. Let us see what the warnings are in connection with this. God has given it in his word, not to give directions to hill walkers or mountaineers. That's the sort of picture that lies behind this. It's a spiritual walking. It's the danger of going on in spiritual darkness. When there is no light, and yet there is light, and people will not make use of the light. 2 things then. First, the duty to glorify God. And second, the danger if we do not glorify God. Well, you see, as I said, there's a danger. And in every situation of danger, there's a call to repent. Because of sin, And Israel had been set up as a nation that they should be unto God for a glory. It said verse 11, and there's some point more to it, that they may be unto me, the Lord is saying, for a people, for a name, and for a praise, and for a glory. But they would not hear. That there would be a people who would glorify God, who would honor him in all that they would do. They were to be for a name. There would be people saying, there's the Israelites, there's the Jews. More in the terminology of Jeremiah's day, God has set them apart for a name, that when people see the Jews, if they were to be walking in the ways of God, they would say, they are God's people, they are worshipping Jehovah. And in giving glory to God, they would be raising in the opinion of others, other tribes, other nations, they would be raising the honor of God. They were to be recognized as God's people, God's obedient people. That's what they were to be seeking, so that God would be glorified, and that God would be praised, and that God would be glorified. But they would not hear. And however much, generally speaking, God is made known in this age, they will not hear. There's been a turning, a vast turning away from God. A great deal of the reasons behind that are that there was decay within the church. There was a turning away from God. There was a turning towards error. Yes. Not worshipping God as he should have been worshipped. Not the preaching wasn't according to the scriptures. People weren't being called as they should to give glory to God through repentance. But, you see, coming back to ourselves, is this what is to be said? That the Lord caused in his providence that we would be brought up under the gospel, and is this how it is? We would not hear. Those who are still unconverted, you've heard the gospel, you've heard the good news about Jesus Christ coming into the world to save sinners, and is this what is to be said? That you would not hear, you would not listen, you would not take it in. And there's no point in speaking at large about those who aren't hearing it, who were once under the gospel here, and they've gone away. They have turned their ears away. They do not bring their ears, so to speak, they do not bring their ears into this place where the gospel might penetrate into their minds, that they would be brought to repentance, that they would be brought to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They would not hear. They're no longer coming. Yes. And the Lord is preserved as willing to come to church. Are we making the best use we possibly could of the means of grace? Are we listening? Are we taking it in? Are we going over what we have heard? Are we asking the Lord to bless the truth to us? To make us new creatures in Christ Jesus. To turn us from our own ways to serve him. So that we would be bowing down in our own room. Asking the Lord to bless us. Asking the Lord to give us repentance. Asking the Lord to open our eyes. That we might see Christ Jesus as the one who came into the world to save sinners. Sinners in the dark mountain. Sinners where the twilight is coming in. When darkness is increasing. Yes. Is that how it is? Oh, let us then, as I've said already today, let us then make use of our opportunities. We might not have much longer. We might not have many more opportunities. Yes, and looking at it and more in the perspective of eternity, we will not have many more opportunities. We will not have many more years to come and go from the place where God is worshipped and where the gospel is proclaimed. Yes, time is running out. And you can see that when an hourglass, or however long it's to run, when it is turned and the sun starts to flow from one chamber to another, how long will it last? Well, you can work that out if you have patience to look at your watch. But how long is our hourglass going to take for the sun to run out? How long will we be here? How many more opportunities have we got? Give glory to the Lord then. During this opportunity, seek grace to turn from your own ways to serve God. Ask him to look down in mercy on you. Ask him to speak to your soul. Yes. You see how God asserts himself. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. What about us here? We might have to adapt some of these phrases to some extent. I am the Lord. Don't need to change that. That applies to us as much as it applied to the Jews of Jeremiah's time. I am the Lord. I am Jehovah, the self-existent being who depends on no creature, who depends on no other being. Just himself. He wasn't created. He's from all eternity God. He's from all eternity Jehovah. The reason for his existence in himself. What's our reason for existence in these terms? It's this, that God has made us. He is our creator. And that is in the list, the creator, but that's the creator of Israel. That's forming Israel to be a nation. Well, we can adapt it. He is our creator. He brought us into existence. He gave us a body. He prepared a body and he prepared a soul. And we are here, body and soul. We're going on in this world. It's not forever, though. In this world, our existence will be forever. As at death, there will be a separation between body and soul, and then we will be turned from our present state. Our soul will go into eternity, either to heaven or to hell. Our bodies will be put in the grave, and then there will be a restoration of that link. And body and soul, we will either go to heaven or go to hell. And you see, this is our place of preparation. If we have begun to glorify God in this world, to praise him, to acknowledge him, then that will go on. It will go on in heaven. It will never come to an end, whether in the body or out of the body. We will still be praising God. Oh, what a blessed occupation. But you see, there's this to begin. The beginning of everything is so important. The beginning of a state of salvation. The beginning of the way to heaven. How important these are. Oh, let us be asking that the Lord would be working in our souls. That the Lord would turn us from our own ways to serve him. Yes, he is the God of wonders. Thou art the God that wonders dost. By thy right hand most strong. Can we say that with a degree of praise in our souls, giving a degree of glory to the great God of eternity? Yes. What's the answer? Give glory to the Lord then. Your Holy One. The one who is holy in himself, perfectly so, and the one who makes others holy. Oh, be asking that the Lord would not only forgive your sins, that might be the first thought of an awakened soul, but there's this you need also, that you would be made holy, and it's the Holy, Holy One, or the one who is holy, 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 that we need. Oh, will we go to him? We might say to him, thou hast called me to be holy. I cannot make myself holy. Oh, but go for the sake of Christ. Make known your need. And may it become a desire in your soul that you would be made holy. That you would be washed. Paul speaks of the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly, he says. Ah, what a wonderful thing it would be if there was a great outpouring of that wonderful water. The water that makes spiritually clean. What do I mean by that? I mean the Holy Spirit. In his cleansing power. You see, the provision is there. That's a great matter. The provision is there. An abundant provision. Yes. He will abundantly pardon. He will abundantly cleanse. He will abundantly show mercy. Whatever you say. In that kind of way. It's true. You see, the mercy of God, it's from everlasting to everlasting. That's one way of putting it. It's abundant. The abundant provision. That sinners might be saved. That sinners might be able to give glory to God. That sinners might be made fit for heaven. Yes. But you see, where were the Jews at that time? Spiritually, where were they? Well, they were not listening. They were careless. They were on their way to captivity, that was true. They wouldn't get there. They were in the land of opportunity, you might say. But they would not listen. What's true of yourself? Are you listening? Not so much listening to me, but though that's... saying, I am here as a preacher of the gospel. That's your duty. But you see, preachers are to be ambassadors for Christ. And through what they hear from the preacher, they are to hear Christ himself. Christ is the teacher. Christ is the prophet. To pick up that part of what I was saying, Christ is the mediator. So I didn't use that term. Oh, you're to listen. I'm to listen. Young people are to listen. Old people are to listen. Yes. And while we have our hearing, which helps these days so that people can hear outwardly, when in the past they might have been very, it might be very difficult for them to get any profit from coming to hear a sermon, it's not so bad now. But you see, what about our spiritual hearing? What about our capacity to take in what is coming to us of the Word of God and the explanation and the application of the Word of God? Are we receiving that inwardly? That's the bigger problem. But there's a remedy. You might consider a hearing aid as a physical remedy, and they're very useful. But Can we get a spiritual hearing aid? Well, perhaps the answer to the question is no, but the Lord is able to unstop our ears, to recreate our ears, to give us new ears, so that we would readily listen to the gospel. That's the thing. To give us new ears so that we might readily listen to the gospel. Now, are you asking for that? Let us all ask, oh Lord, give me new ears in my soul. Come by thy Holy Spirit and work so that I would hear thy word, so that I would be able to listen. Yes, that's it. The Lord is able to bring the word into your soul. I was speaking about receptors this morning. Well, the Lord is able to put new receptors into our ears, the ears of our souls, the ears of our understanding. And what a difference that would make. You see, as far as salvation is concerned, what we're altogether dependent on is the work of God. And at the moment, the work of God in making us able to hear the good news of the gospel, as well as the warnings about the danger we are in, as well as the warnings. The Lord is able. Do not get discouraged because of the way. Do not say, I must give up. I've been hearing the word and paying some kind of attention for many a long year, and yet I'm not the better. Well, take your case to the Lord. I think I used that expression already today. Take your case to the Lord. Take your situation to the Lord and ask, Lord, make me able to take in what they were saying in thy word. May thy word have an effect on me. May thy Holy Spirit change me. May I be a new creature in Christ Jesus, united to him and given a living faith and given the repentance that I need so that I would be turning from my own ways to serve the living God, is so that I might begin to give glory to him. Yes. And you see, how Jeremiah made confession. We acknowledge, O Lord, our wickedness, for we have sinned against thee. Now that the Lord, what we need is that the Lord would put these words into our heart. We acknowledge, O Lord, our wickedness. Someone might say, I'm not wicked. I'm not broken any of the commandments. I'm no murderer, I'm no adulterer, and so on. But you see, are we a rebel against God? Are we rebels against God? Are we refusing to hear, refusing to listen, refusing to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, whom the Father gave as the Savior of the world? What a blessing that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. What a blessing that he went to Calvary. What a blessing that he rose again and ascended to heaven and took his place at the right hand of God, where he is continually making intercession. Yes. See how Jeremiah and the Lord through him is speaking in verse 23. Can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? It's impossible. That's how they came into the world. That's according to God's design, God's purpose. But you see, here's the application of that. It's not a lesson in biology or zoology. It's a lesson in spiritual things. It's the application of that. So also, may ye do good that are accustomed to do evil. What's needed is a change of heart. A change of heart, that's God's work. It's not impossible for God to put another design of spots on the leopard. That wouldn't be impossible. But it's not something that I'm anticipating that God would do. But you see, he'll do the other thing. And that is that those who are accustomed to do evil, those who are unwilling to do good, he can change them. Oh Lord, we might well cry, bring that about in me and everyone else that still has their old hard heart ruling. Yes. We need that, and the Lord is able to do it. Let no one give up. As I said already, because of the difficulty of the way, or even the difficulty of getting into the way of salvation, the Lord is able. How able, how blessedly able to transform the heart of a sinner, to work by the Holy Spirit to put a living faith in that sinner's soul, to put living repentance into that sinner's soul, so that they might give glory to God. That's what we have. That's what we're to ask for. That's what we're to look for ourselves, and to bear in mind the readiness of the great God of eternity to work in the heart of a sinner. Yes, a sinner like me, you might say. Yes. And you see what you have in James, in the epistle of James. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, able to give grace to the humble. Well, you see, we've got to read in to these statements and perhaps even encouragements, the need of the Lord to work, the need of the Holy Spirit. Gives grace to the humble, but how will they be humble? How will anyone be humble? It's by the grace, it's by the working of God. Salvation is all of grace. Salvation is all because of the kindness of God. Salvation is all through the work of God in the soul of a sinner. And that has taken place. I cannot answer my question, but how often? Perhaps more an exclamation than a question. How often has the Lord worked in the hearts of sinners in this place? Yes. And when people stop coming to church, they are putting themselves out of the sphere in which God works salvation. Not totally, necessarily. But that's very much the danger. Keep coming to church, whatever else you do. It's where the Lord may graciously meet with you. Do not provoke him to leave you altogether. Do not provoke him to leave you by your carelessness and your refusal to hear. That was the problem with the Jews at that time. They weren't listening. They weren't concerned that God would work in their souls. But you see, cleanse your hearts, ye sinners. James again. Cleanse your hearts. Oh, can I cleanse my hands? I can cleanse them outwardly. I can put them under the tap. I can apply some soap. That's not the point. It's spiritual cleansing. It's the work of the Spirit. And yet, there's a responsibility on us to stop sinning. And oh, if you are feeling, I cannot cleanse my hands, I cannot cleanse my soul, I cannot stop sinning, there's a something, they're putting pressure on me. You can think of it in terms of your own unbelief, your own willfulness. You can think of it in terms of the devil and his wicked work. But look away from that. Look beyond all that. Look to God, who, for the sake of Christ, is able to deliver sinners from going down to the pit of destruction, who is able to deliver sinners from the dangers of the mountain. Yes, in the darkening. Yes. We need to be delivered from the coming darkness. And of course, we could say that as far as we are concerned as an age, how the darkness has been rolling in over the generations. The darkness has been rolling in. And how people are stumbling over this and that and falling down into a lost eternity. Yes. But let us go on to speak of the danger. And before he calls darkness, and before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains, and while you look for light, he turn it into the shadow of death and make it gross darkness. Yes. Before the darkness increases, before the light of the gospel disappears altogether. I'm not saying it will, but there's that danger. Oh, seeks the salvation of your soul before the darkness rolls in completely. Before the church is closed down because there's no one left to enter. No one willing to come and hear the gospel. And so often it's a case of this. No one able to preach the gospel. Maybe able to give some moral address. Something about the shortage of food, oppression and things like that. That's secondary at best. Secondary. The first thing is the soul. The first thing is the spirit, our spiritual need and the supply and the revelation that has been made of Christ having come into the world to save sinners. That's what we need. What's the point of having the church door opened if all that is to be said is on the level of this world? If there's no concern that sinners might be saved and that sinners might flee from the wrath to come, that they might lay hold in eternal life, that sinners would look to Christ. Yes. If that's not there, what's the point of opening the door? What's the point of paying the bills, the electricity, the water, whatever it might be, of paying a man to stand in a pulpit? Oh, but may the Lord come in mercy upon this country and other countries and revive his work in the midst of the years, that he would in wrath remember mercy. Mercy. That's what we need. God's mercy in relation to sinners, before it becomes too late, before the darkness comes down altogether, before there's no light left, if there's no moon, if there's no stars, if there's thick clouds covering every possible light that may come at night. Yes. But you see, the Lord is able. The Lord hears the prayers of his people. Let his people be praying in connection with the twilight. The light going away. The light of the gospel. Yes. You see, death will come. Everyone will go into eternity. There's particular stumbling blocks which I may come to. But, you see, we must all die. We must be as water spilt on the ground which cannot be gathered up. If we die, that's it. Whether we're ready or not, whether we're bound for heaven or not, we must die. And the important thing is that we would seek to make use of our opportunities, that we would plead with the Lord that he would have mercy upon us, that we wouldn't be left to be swept away into a lost eternity. Yes. Yes. When a wicked man dieth, his expectation shall perish. Perhaps he was confident that he would get to heaven no matter what. No thought of seeking the Lord. No thought of giving glory to God, and is powerless to do it without help from heaven, without the work of the Holy Spirit in his soul. No thought of seeking the Lord. No thought of worshipping God and being able to do so in a spiritual manner that is acceptable to God. And his expectation perishes. What does he expect? Oh, it might be he's expecting that life will go on, that his enjoyment of the world will go on. And even if he isn't much enjoying life, there's no willingness to return to hearing the gospel. That's how it is in many cases. No willingness to forsake the foolish and live. No thought of committing himself into the hand of God before he stumbles into hell, before he stumbles on the dark mountain. And it may be that his lifestyle is such that he is doing damage to his own health and hastening his departure from this world. Yes. What wilt thou do is the question at verse 21. What wilt thou say when he shall punish thee? Shall not sorrows take thee as a woman in travail? With something like that, if it wasn't the exact words this morning. But it fits in here. What wilt thou do? Sinner, what will you do? What would you do if you were facing eternity without hope? What will you do now? While you still have the opportunities of coming to hear the gospel, what will you do if death is closing in and you're getting older, perhaps not too well any longer? What will you do if you have not found Christ? If you have not sought to begin to glorify God, the call still comes that you would glorify God, that you would turn from your sins, that you would look to Christ. Oh, ask the Lord to help you. Ask the Lord to save you. Ask the Lord to work in your souls, that when you are unable, when everything is too difficult for you, that whatever energy you might have had in the past, you're running out of energy now. Look to the Lord before it is too late. Cry out to him in prayer. Remember that there's still grace set before you. The power of God to save, it hasn't changed. As that power, it was working in the heart of your father, perhaps, or your grandmother, your brother or sister, who knows? Or that godly neighbor that you had a particular respect for. Oh, it's not run out. It's not changed. That power is still the same. That power is as effective as ever. Go to the Lord. Ask him to bless you. Ask him to turn you from your own ways. The God of wonders. Say to him, I hear that thou art the God that wonders dost. By thy right hand most strong, do a wonder of grace in my soul. Yes, a wonder of grace. It's all of grace. It's free. It's not something that you have to earn. There's duties laid upon you. Give glory to the God of heaven. Give glory to him. Repent. Yes. And you are not able. It's beyond your power. And that's not said to discourage you. But go to your, to the Lord with that problem. Ask him that for Christ's sake, the one who came into the world to save sinners, ask him that he would save you. Ask him out of those treasuries of spiritual blessing that he would have something for you, some degree of grace through which you may be saved. Yes, it's not too late. The time is moving on. I don't mean so much with relation to this service, so that is true. But time is moving on as far as your life is concerned. As your opportunities are running out, time is moving on. You need to pay more and more attention before the gross darkness comes, before the twilight has passed away and the little glimmering of light that still remains has faded away. You're left before God. You're on your way into his presence. Let us think of that. The sinner on his way or her way into the presence of God. What a tragedy if that sinner has no grace. What a tragedy. Where does that leave you? As time is passing, your opportunities are getting fewer. What about this stumbling on the dark mountain? The mountain has got dark. It was fine when the people in the party were climbing up in the bright sunshine, but they took a wrong turning perhaps. As the sun went down and the darkness began to come in, the light began to fade more and more. And then one person stumbled, another person stumbled somewhere else. Apply that spiritually, apply that to yourself if you go on. Stumbling on the dark mountain, and they may fall. They may fall hundreds of feet. It might be fatal. Ah, what about us? May we be in earnest about our souls. When the Saviour has said, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. When the light is still shining, the light of grace, perhaps not shining into your soul, but it's shining round about you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Before the light passes, before your time of opportunity is over. Yes, and we may stumble over Christ himself. We may stumble over Christ. Christ saying, for instance, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And you might rebel against that, though it's Christ who has said it. Ask the Lord to keep you from stumbling. Ask the Lord to make you use what little time of light remains to you. Make the most of it to get safely off the mountain, to get safely into the city of refuge. You could imagine perhaps somebody fleeing to the city of refuge and he takes what he thinks is a shortcut over a hill and the sun begins to come down and he's trying to make good speed. He wants to get to the city of refuge and he stumbles as the darkness comes in. Yes, and that's how it may be. We need to get to the city of refuge. But are we in real earnest about it? Are we pleading with God to keep us, to give us a long enough period of light so that we would make it into the city of refuge, so that we would get to Christ? Not asking that about the light continuing if we are wasting our opportunity, if we are careless about our souls, that out of a desire, out of the necessity of making good speed, of having the light continue until we get into the city of refuge, until we get to Christ himself, yes, you've no time to waste. No time. Yes. And see, the question or questions. Woe unto thee, O Jerusalem. Wilt thou not be made clean? When shall it once be? Wilt thou not be made clean? The problem is in the will. Sinner, the problem about finding Christ is in your will. Your unwillingness to come to Christ. Your willingness to take the risk of stumbling on the dark mountain. Oh, go to the Lord. For Christ's sake, who came into the world to save sinners, lay hold of him as one who is able to deliver you. He has finished his work. He said it is finished. Oh, hear his voice from the cross. Hear his voice when his sufferings are drawing to an end, when the work of redemption is almost complete, and all he has to do is to lay down his life for sinners, in the place of sinners. Yes, look to him, trust in him. Ask to be delivered from the wrath to come. There's salvation for sinners. Remember the call. Give glory to the Lord. Remember the danger of stumbling on the dark mountains. Remember the shortness of time that is left. And it may be very short. We don't know. Look to Christ. Hear him saying to you, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. May the Lord bless his word to us. Let us pray. Help, Lord, for we need thee. Bring us to trust in thee. Nothing is too hard for thee. Bless the truth this evening. Bless the warnings. Bless the encouragements. Bless the calls of the gospel. Do a work of grace in each of our hearts. Continue thy work in the heart of thy children. And grant to be with us now and always. Be our God and our guide forever. Help us in every way, and do wonders of grace. Pour out thy spirit, and grant to draw sinners to thyself, making a people willing in the day of thy power. Grant to remember us as a nation, and grant that the light would shine into every corner of it, that thou wouldst roll back the darkness, and shine light into every community. Send out men to bring the gospel to places everywhere. Make every provision that is necessary. Pardon us our sin and be doing good. Bless us as a congregation. Bless us as a branch of thy church. Bless everything that takes place. Bless that all that was done today and all that will be done. Do us good in infinite mercy and wash away all our sin. For Jesus' sake, amen.